Dale is going to come and read to us, and then Simon is going to speak.
Morning. So the reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20, and you can find it on pages 1027 and 1028. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told, what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
So, I've had several people asking me after the 9 o'clock and before this service, how was your time after Christmas? You know, have you had a break? Have you managed to take some time off? And certainly that was the plan. If you looked at my diary just before Christmas, you'd have seen that all I had to do, Caroline was off, so she'd asked me to change the settings on the heating. And believe it or not, it actually has been on since 4 o'clock this morning. My wife with her coat on is still not feeling the benefit. But the other thing was to write this sermon, and I basically gave the same one at 9 o'clock as I'm giving now at 10:30 on the same theme. The other thing I had to do was buy milk and pita bread for the 9 o'clock service. And that was it. Except that a funeral has come in for this coming Friday, and it was a complicated one, a very sad situation. The young man died on the 27th of October, and because the cause of death still isn't known, there had to be a post-mortem and tests and so forth, and so they want to get on with it and have it soon after the new year. And that meant talking to the father of the deceased and him coming round, and then talking to the undertaker to work out arrangements, and talking, finding a pianist to play, and talking about the music. And so, you know, it's good and right and important. But that was one thing I hadn't anticipated. And then on Friday morning, I came in to have a look round the church and discovered in that window just there a large round hole, which was clearly made by a projectile such as a pellet or a bullet or something like that. And so I spoke to Caroline, I spoke to the wardens, I rang the diocese and said, "Do I have to report this?" And they said, "Yes, you do." So I spoke to the Koreans and said, "You didn't have a child on Christmas Day with a new air pistol they happened to bring to church?" And they went, "No, it wasn't us." And then yesterday afternoon I had the Metropolitan Police around having a look at it and taking the details. And so, you know, that lovely, quiet, empty week didn't quite materialise as planned, because life kept breaking in. And so it's a good thing that my plan today was to preach on the fact that Jesus is for life and not just for Christmas. Because what we want to do is come to the crib and be quiet and reflective and bask in Christmas glory and joy and forget about the busyness of the world and the pressures of life. But the fact is, life keeps breaking in. And if you'd been here at any of our main Christmas services, you would have heard that message, because it was a consistent theme that ran through without any planning or forethought on our part. So Stu came to speak at our Carols by Candlelight service. It was a great joy to have him back. And did try and persuade him to stay, but he went back to St. Miletus. And he spoke about the fact that God comes to bring joy, and that's what Jesus is all about, that joy coming into our world. And that he shared some wonderful, moving stories of people that he knows in Hanwell who've gone through awful situations but still know the joy of God bubbling up from deep within. And then at midnight and at 9 o'clock on Christmas morning, I spoke about the fact that God, that the whole essence of Christmas is that God makes himself vulnerable. God becomes weak. God puts himself in our hands in that crib and then later on the cross. Allows himself to be rejected. He shares our pain, our suffering, our weakness, our brokenness. And so we can know him in those times. And then on Christmas morning at our all-age celebration, I talked about the fact that every time that the kingdom of God breaks into our world, in all the different ways that he does, it does. So the king is there, the king is here. And Emmanuel means that God is with us in the joys and in the sorrows, in the good times and the celebrations and the peace and the quiet, but also in the busyness, in the noisiness, in the struggles and the ups and downs of everyday life. And as we stand here at New Year's Eve, looking ahead to, my diary doesn't actually look like that, that's the new one that's just been bought, but as we look ahead to the blankness of the new year, we don't know what the future holds. I mean, you cannot tell me what is going to be on the front page of the newspaper on the 2nd of January. None of us know. You know, on the 1st of January, there won't be very much at all. There won't be much news. But what does tomorrow hold? We don't know. When those of you who are at work, when you go back to work, what does that hold? When the children go back to school on Wednesday, many of them, or if they have inset days, what does the new term hold? Well, teachers have a plan, but they don't know. What's going to be in the news in July? Especially with the president we have in America, we don't know. Will the world still be here in July? And next December, what are your plans for next December? We don't know. But the good news is, as we stand at the start of a new year, God does. And that is such good news. We sang just a moment ago that we can trust in him alone because his goodness will lead us home. We sang just a moment ago that he goes before us and he is our guardian. So isn't that good news when we don't know the future? He does, and he goes before us. So perhaps the best advice that we could give each other today is the advice that George VI gave to the nation on December the 25th, 1939, for his Christmas broadcast in that year of war, in that year of fear, in that year of uncertainty, with Hitler across the Channel, hadn't yet invaded France, but Poland had fallen. And everyone knew that England was in his sights. And he read from Minnie Haskins' poem, God Knows. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. That is the best advice we can give one another today. Put your hand in God's hand. Walk closely with him. Because then you can face whatever the future holds. Because he's bigger than us. He's stronger than us. He's totally reliable and trustworthy. And he can face it. We think, oh, I don't know if I can manage this or that. I don't know what this is going to bring. He knows, and he is there, and he is with us. So let us put our hands in God's hand. And yesterday I was preparing this sermon, And God, I think, gave me a picture to share with you, which I found really helpful, so I'll share it with you. Our lovely daughter, Pippa, gave us as an Advent present a string of 24 bits of card with the numbers 1 to 24 on, and on the reverse of each one was a photograph from her phone. Now, some of you are old enough to remember photograph albums. Not that long ago, we used to print photographs. We used to take them to a photographic shop or Boots or somewhere, and you'd print them off, and you were eager to know whether they'd come out or not. And you had a look, and you thought, oh dear, you know, that didn't come out, did it? Before the days when you could look at your screen immediately and take another one. So on her phone, there are all these photographs, many of which we've never seen before. Some of them are familiar, some of them are quite new. And so day by day, we'd be quite excited, you know, to turn over the picture and see, so what's today's picture? And sometimes it was one that we're familiar with and that we remembered. You go, oh, yeah, I remember that. We were at St. David's. Yes, that was a holiday in Wales. Yeah, it was a really lovely time. Some of them you think, when on earth did you take that? Pippa, when did you see me biting the head off a jelly baby? I don't remember that. She goes, oh, Dad, you know, it was only this few months ago. But every day there was anticipation, whether it was old and reminded or whether it was new and unseen, it was fun. And I'd like to suggest to you that that is a picture, not the one on the screen, that one, that is a picture of the new year. That for each of us, the new day, tomorrow, the day after, is an unknown image. And what we do as we go through that day is we turn it over and find out, oh, that's what was in store for me. But rather than fearing that, or feeling apprehensive about that, it's God's image. If we can see it that way, God knows what's the other side, what we will face. And so we can look forward and say, I wonder what God has got for me tomorrow. Let's have a look. Let's see what God has in store. And sometimes it's going to be something familiar. Oh, yeah, same old, same old. Sometimes it's going to be something brand new that we didn't know. Let's look to the future with God, because we believe in a God who speaks. And so as we read our Bibles, God can speak to us through those words. As we pray and seek him and ask him to speak to us, he can speak. As we talk to fellow Christians, God can speak to us through one another. That's why small groups are so good, because we can encourage one another and speak God's words to one another. That's why prayer partnerships or just getting together with other Christians. I get together regularly with Keith Gateschool, the pastor of Kingsgate. We've fixed up a date for coffee this week. Really looking forward to it, because we can encourage one another and God can speak to us through one another. And even through sermons, God can speak to us. So as a preaching team, we've got together and we've tried to put together a program to allow God to speak, to give opportunity for God to speak. And you can pick up the term cards at the back, they're on that table at the back, or outside, or in the racks by the door. And they'll show you that through the months of January to March, we're looking at Paul's really practical teaching about how to live the Christian life from Romans 12 to 15. And it's a passage I love. As Paul says, this is what love is. Let your love be sincere, unhypocritical. And then he unpacks what that looks like in everyday life. So it's very practical advice on how to live the Christian life day by day in a hostile world, in a complicated world, as Paul's world was, very similar to ours, where Christians were in the minority and their voice wasn't often heard. And then in the evening, I particularly want to draw attention to the evening, because what we've done in the evening is put together a series of workshops, if you like. They're practical ways of growing in our faith. That's the introductory one and the sort of, it sets the scene for the whole series. And so we'll look at the fact that each of us have different personalities, and so our faith will express itself in different ways, and that's good. We'll look at reading the Bible and learning to see the big picture of the Bible, both individual passages and then books and beyond. We'll look at the importance of those relationships that I've just talked about small groups and friendships and indeed worshipping together. We're looking at praying without pretending, and in that we'll look at the fact we can write our prayers as well as speak our prayers. We're looking at the day-by-day practice of how to keep fresh meeting with God, making space for God and developing our daily devotion. Leslie will speak to us. It's something that she's really good at, of how to enter into a story with imagination and bring it to life in our devotions as we read the Bible. Then we'll look at praying in the Spirit and all that that entails, and spiritual warfare and what that entails. And finally, just leading us up to Easter, what it means to follow Jesus and take up the cross daily as he did. So we believe that God speaks. And I know that not all of you can come to evening services. It's sometimes impossible with your life and the family situation you're in at the moment. But the website that's being developed, we could go live with it today. There is a website that's ready to put online, but it's got lots of mistakes in it still, because stuff has been taken from the past and just plonked on there. And so we're refining it. Caroline and I have been working through it and changing that, and we're not quite there yet. So we'd rather get it right and wait another week or two than put it up with lots of mistakes that you will then email in going, that's not right. So those sermons will be up by the end of the month, and you will be able to listen to them if you can't come to those evenings. And my experience is that God goes on speaking. Just like turning over that picture, he has new things to say to us, new things he wants us to learn, new things he wants us to get enthusiastic and excited about, because that's the kind of God he is, a God who is new every morning and has new things for us. So this passage is so familiar, the passage that Dale read. It's like, oh, that one again. Didn't we have that last Christmas? Yes, we did. And the Christmas before? Yes. I'm now 58. Every Christmas we've had that reading. What on earth could God possibly say that's new through that? Well, as I sat with my coffee in Cafe Nero and prayed about it and reflected on it, yes, God can speak new things. And so what God was saying to me through these few verses of that longer reading is there are three characters, and they can all encourage us and teach us and inspire us today and this New Year's Eve about the way to go into the new year with God. And the first one is Mary. It says, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And Bible scholars believe that it's quite likely that Luke knew Mary, or at least Luke knew Mary's stories, because Luke's gospel tells us more about what Mary did and Mary thought than the others do at all. And we know from the Acts of the Apostles that Mary was with the first apostles on the day of Pentecost and at that time. So it is quite possible that Luke, who was a friend and companion of Paul, had met Mary, or at least met someone who knew Mary's memories, and that's why they're in his gospel. Mary, you see, had lots to think about. Those wise men and the gifts that they brought, what was that all about? What was that going to mean? If you know the gospel stories, Luke chapter 2 tells us about her trip with Joseph to the temple to have Jesus circumcised, and how they came across two people, elderly people, Anna and Simeon, and Simeon prophesied and said words to Mary that were disturbing and profound, that a sword would pierce her heart, that this child was set for the rise and fall of many in Israel. And as that child grew up, she must have thought long and hard, what was that all about? Mary treasured these things and pondered them in her heart. What does this mean? And as we start a new year with God, what I want to ask myself and you is, am I making space for pondering? Because pondering doesn't just happen. Pondering is something that's a discipline that I need to make space for. To say, first of all, I've got to recall, I've got to think back. See, Mary maybe sometimes just thought, that thing that Simeon said, what was that all about? But I suspect because she treasured them and pondered them that she actually sat down and thought, let me just try and think about that again. What was that all about? Let me just recall it. Let me just reflect upon it. And then because she recalled it and because she reflected upon it, she could respond to it. And I wonder, in your life, is there space for pondering? Maybe on a daily commute, or maybe at the start of the day or the end of the day, or just a moment that you can take and stop and think, hang on, I want to think about that some more. Not about what to cook tonight or what present to get my spouse, but about God, about what God's been saying, about God and his plans for your life this year. Making a little space to ponder. And at this point, I will give a plug for St. Paul's Night this Wednesday, because St. Paul's Night is basically space to ponder. There are prayer stations with activities that we can do, that we can read or write or sometimes taste, or just space. Space, or build, that's another thing we can sometimes do. Space to listen to God and recall and reflect and respond. But this is the only one there's going to be this half year. Because there are various other activities going on in the life of the church, there won't be another one till June at the earliest. So I just encourage you to seize this opportunity to recall and reflect and ponder. That's Mary. Then there are the shepherds. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they'd been told. Now, you may well have heard me speak about this before. You certainly may well hear me speak about it again. But gratitude is such a wonderful gift. And I ask myself the question again, do I make time for thankfulness in my life? To be thankful for, well, as Peter showed us in our prayers, for all the things that God has given me day by day, for living in such a lovely place. For the friends I have, for the family I have, if I do, for the opportunities that I have. And above all, as a Christian, I have so many reasons to be thankful. Just as the shepherds returned, praising God for Jesus, I can every day praise God for Jesus, that Jesus is God, come into my world to show me how to live, to share my humanity with me. And that so much did he love me that he died on a cross that my sins could be forgiven. I could have a relationship with God. So much did he love me that he rose from the dead to give me the assurance that I need not fear the grave, but will live with God forever. So much did he love me that when he returned to the Father's right hand, he poured out the Holy Spirit, so that God lives in me and with me every day. And you might have had the worst day imaginable. You've rowed with your family, work's been terrible, you've got the stinking, streaming January cold, but all those things are still true. And it is, you will know, it is a discipline that on those days to actually stop and think, now hang on a minute, I've still got things to be thankful for. Today was the pits, but today I still have things to be thankful for. It's a discipline. And as you may have heard me say before, and you will hear me say again, science has shown that that actually helps me. That even if you are not a Christian, you don't know who to be thankful for, which is a great pity. Being thankful and counting our blessings makes us happier and healthier. It really does. But as a Christian, it does so much more, because it builds our faith and helps us to know God's love more for ourselves, reminds us of his goodness to us. And that helps us to trust him more and to walk with him more, because we're reminded of all the good things he's done for us and how good he is to us. So this year, are we going to be thankful? And as we've already been reminded this morning, worship is a great part of that. Worship in words that are memorable, and sometimes, you know, when you get an earworm, too memorable, but memorable words that remind us of God's goodness to us. And you might be totally unmusical, but still the words of our worship, songs and hymns, old and new, joy to the world, the Lord has come. They are great reminders of God's truth. And so Heather and I differ in many respects, but this is one of them. When she works, she loves having music in the background quite often. When I work, I like silence. And I never listen to music. The only thing I think I do that I sometimes listen to worship is washing up. But that's it. Everything else, I prefer it quiet. Now, yes, you can play whatever the latest band is that you're listening to, or his suggestion, you could listen to Christian worship, whatever style you like. And words that inspire you, encourage you, bless you, and remind you of how good God is. That's another way of thankfulness spilling over into our lives and making time for thankfulness. And finally, there's the shepherds, there's Mary. Didn't see anyone else in that story. Who's your third character? God, obviously, he's in all of it. Well, it's the people that heard what the shepherds said. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. You said what? You saw what? You heard what? That's amazing. And most of us have this perception that if we tell people about our faith, they will be dismissive or scornful. But actually, when we share good news, people are often, actually grateful and impressed and even inspired. And it's partly because the world is so full of bad news. I don't know if you're aware of this, but newspapers sell by telling bad news. News websites major on bad news because there's something in the human psyche that hooks on that responds to that. Some of you may remember that a few years ago, a new newspaper came out and they said, we're going to have good news in our newspaper. We're not going to fill the cover with bad news. We're going to try and be more positive. It failed. You know, people didn't buy it. It just didn't work. Because when it comes to the media, we like, bizarrely, bad news. Perhaps because it makes us feel better about ourselves, thinking, well, thank goodness I wasn't in that train. But when it comes to personal relationships, actually, it's great to have good news. We are more encouraged. When our colleague comes to us and pours out what a miserable Christmas and New Year we've had, we don't say, oh, isn't that great? Kind of drags us down a bit. So when someone comes and tells us good news, it lifts our spirits a bit. So I'm not suggesting for one moment that we go and preach to people. It really doesn't generally go down well. I'm really not suggesting that we go and argue with people. Let me explain to you the 5 points of why Jesus is the Messiah, and I'm going to keep on going to the fifth one, whether you want to listen or not. That generally doesn't go down well, getting into an argument. But telling people, sharing some good news about what we've heard God has done, or God has done in our lives. Not in a kind of preachy, churchy, cringe-making way, but just in a good news kind of way. Someone was saying to me the other day that they went to the crib service for the first time this year. And they're amazed how many children there were. The fact that the church was full of people. Well, actually, I already knew that because I was there too. But what I suggest to you is, what if when your neighbour, your colleague, your friend says, so what did you do over Christmas? You say, well, our church was amazing. It was packed with kids. And this is what happened. The vicar dressed up weirdly and did this very strange sketch. Sharing good news, people were kind of, oh, that's interesting. They might not say, oh, that's interesting. Tell me, how can I be saved? Pretty unlikely, to be honest. But what they will do is they'll go away and think, interesting. Didn't know that. If you tell them you saw the church was full, they think, that's not what I read in the papers. I thought that the church is disappearing because all the trends are that it's going out of business. Sharing good news actually is a wonderful way of copying those shepherds. And I think that what we'll find is that we'll be surprised at their surprise. So my third thing that I see in this passage is that just as we need space for pondering, just it's great to make time for thankfulness, so it's good to have the courage to just open our mouths and share. Not preach, not argue, but just share what we've seen and heard. What we've seen and heard. It's just as simple as that. The shepherds didn't kind of reflect theologically and say, well, can I tell you about the incarnation? The baby who was in the manger, this is the amazing thing, was God. There they just said, we saw this and we heard this and then we went and we found the baby and it's like, wow. And people said, wow. So Let's share the good news we have, because we have the best news. We have the best news in the world. And the sad thing is, in our society today, many, many people, probably most people in Britain today, do not associate Christmas with incarnation, with Christmas, with God being one of us, with good news. It's about families and presents, and to be honest, it's about drink and rows for many people. And it's sometimes about loneliness and isolation. Everyone else is having a good time. We've got good news to share, and not just at Christmas, because Jesus didn't just come for Christmas. Jesus came for life. So, as we stand at the threshold of another new year, what we as a church have before us is like one of those Norwegian buffets, a smorgasbord, with all sorts of different dishes out there. Things in the Bible, things in our opportunities for prayer, friendships, relationships, small groups, sermons. And God, just as you look and think, oh, shall I start with that? Or shall I have one of those? Or shall I have them all? God puts them before us and says, what are you going to taste and see this year? What opportunities have you got this year to be blessed, to be encouraged, to be inspired, to be strengthened? Make the most of what I set before you. And that way, 2018 is not something to be feared, but something to look forward to, because God is going before us and preparing a way. And all we need to do is put our hand in his hand and walk into it with him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are such a good God. And 2,000 years ago, you radically transformed history by becoming one of us and showing us how good you are. And we're sorry that so often in the humdrum boringness of everyday life, or the stressful busyness of everyday life, we forget that you are Emmanuel, God with us. Please help us this year to find you in the ordinary and the everyday. Help us to make spaces to ponder, not just here in church on Sundays, but in the ordinary and the everyday. Help us to learn to be thankful every morning and at the end of every day. Help us to have the courage to share good news when we encounter it. Help us, above all, to put our hand in your hand and know that you are walking with us through whatever this year is to bring. Thank you that we can trust in you, because you are good and your love endures forever. Amen.